Blog Talk Radio.
Well, today I'd like to welcome you to Words That Work. It's not what you say, it's what the people hear and feel. Words have meaning. So let's talk about it so that we may enjoy this life. I want to welcome you to Crown Talk and Drum Internet Radio Station. On this Sunday, this bright, sunny Sunday afternoon here in the Carolinas. It's a shade. There's nothing finer than to be in Carolina in the morning. Now, well, some people may want to take exception. Some people feel that there where they are is the greatest place to be. But saying all that to say, words have meaning. What do you feel when you say, there's nothing finer than to be in Carolina in the morning? Perks you up. Feel fantastic that your place is great. So, let's talk a little bit today about the words authority. Authority. A lot of people have different perception of that word, and they have different understanding of the meaning of that word. And it's based, a lot of that is based on how that word was applied in their daily living. If we go back and take the slaves in this country, and whenever look at how they perceived the word authority, it was negative for a lot of them. It was negative. They felt that it was somebody just waiting to do harm to them if they didn't do it the way they expected them to do it, whatever it was. But this is, we're looking at things through the eyes of the word, especially looking at how it's used in its Hebrew sense. Since we are dealing with spirituality, and this is Armstrong, W.J. Armstrong, waiting on, not sure if my co-host is going to arrive today. We will pause whenever she does, if and when she does. And one of the things, whenever I went to look up the word authority, and I put it in Google, I Googled it, and this is what it said. The scope of the authority is limited to the area of the authority given to them by God. God does not require us to obey delegated authorities outside the legitimate sphere of their authority. Sound like double talk, but so what? And then this example they use, this is why wives are urged to be submissive to your own husband, not to all men. That was, now you find that in 1 Peter and in Ephesians. What does the Bible say about the word authority? Okay. First, now, before we get into that, let's go back. Let's go back and take a look at, we just introduced another word, Bible. Bible, and we introduce what else? We introduce God. And we introduce authority that was delegated authority. Now let's examine that in light of what we see happening today. What is happening in the earth realm today? You hear on the news how people misusing their authority, especially politicians are misusing their authority that they have been given by the people. And a lot of people are looking at it and saying, that's not what we really want. It appears as if they have snatched power. They are intoxicated with power, not concerned about the power or authority that was delegated to them whenever they ran for office. I want us to really, really think about who gives authority, where did authority come from. Now, as we just listen to a definition, now I'm going to read the definition again. When you Google the word, what comes up, one of the definitions, the scope of authority is limited to the area of the authority given to them by God. So, in that sentence, it says that God gives authority. And God defines what authority is. And then it goes on to talk about God does not require to obey, keyword, obey, delegated authority outside the legitimate sphere of their authority. Again, I want you to just take a second and think about that. I think that was my co-host that just signed in. And if that was or is, would you like to say anything at this point?
Good evening. Right. I really didn't hear what your initial question was. So, I mean, because I just signed on, so you were talking at the end of it. So I didn't hear what you said.
Oh.
I apologize.
No, that's okay. What I was talking about is authority and how that word is used and the perception that one gets and who is the author, what is the source, who gives authority, and how do we know what authority is from its source. And I read the definition. It says the scope of the authority is limited to the area of the authority given to them by God. And whenever I read that, what did I feel? What did I hear? I heard Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Everything was null and void until Elohim created. To me, that was nothing but Elohim in the beginning. So therefore, all power and all authority comes from Elohim. That's what I see, what I heard, because the whole topic is words that work. It's not what you say, it's what the people hear and feel. And in light of what's all going on in the earth realm today, in terms of how authority is being used and to do things that one is suspect. And then the second part of it, it sort of clears that up. It said, God does not require us to obey delegated authorities outside the legitimate sphere of their authority. an example they use, this is why wives are urged to be submissive to their own husband, not to all men. And so whenever we look at it, what's happening in the earth realm today, with the people who are in these various offices, whether you're a politician, whether you're a minister, a pastor, a bishop, or whatever title that office that you are in go by, that office has given you certain rights and certain responsibilities. And whenever we look at it from the perspective of the word authority as written, well, first, is the Bible the final word? Is the Bible the source of our definition for authority? Are you still there?
I am. You were talking, so I was listening to you, sir.
Okay, well, the question that I'm throwing out right now, and since right now there's only the two of us that called in, can we say for our discussion today that the Bible is the source of authority as we see it or as we know it?
Yes, the promises, I mean, that the Father gave to the Son, the Messiah. He even stated in the Word that, you know, he's given the authority, that the authority came from the Father. And then there's so many other passages of Scripture. I think that was what might have been in Romans, where it says there's no authority except from God or Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
And those that exist have been instituted by Elohim. So it all comes from our Heavenly Creator, the authority. But then there's so many different passages. Even the Messiah, when he walked on this earth, he gave the disciples power and the authority. He said, it's been given unto you, the authority over all demons, and to cast out devils. So the authority has been given, but it all is coming by that power and authority all comes from the Word itself. So it comes from the Creator. And it's just so many different passages of scriptures that gives us that even today, we still walk in that same authority. But it comes from, by the grace of the Most High, and it comes from, you know, him giving us the authority. It all comes from him. Him and the Son, they all one.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, yes, that's where the authority comes from, the Father.
So then we can conclude that for our discussion today, the time that we will be here, is that authority belongs to God. And we know that from the Bible, along from the scriptures as written, because if you just start with Genesis chapter 1, that's clear. Verse 1, clear that there was nothing in existence before Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So if there was another being someplace that delegated the authority to Elohim, then we can say that power or that authority does not originate with Elohim, but it originate outside. But because of the scripture, and the scriptures as one Bible, what we call one holy book, one name for one of the holy books, which is closer to the original discussion in terms of the original word that was given, it gives us a different, slightly different understanding of what's took what took place at that time. And I know for me, when I read it, what I feel and what I hear is slightly different from when I read it in the English translation, because a lot of the Hebrew words you cannot translate, they won't translate accurately to English or to any other language. So now, if we apply that to what we see in the earth realm today, let's just, I'm not picking on politicians, but they're the ones now that's in the limelight, and they're the ones now that people are struggling with what they are doing, and it's, what they're doing is frightening some people, and others, they are finding joy in what is happening. How do we, and we say that all knowledge, and we say that God ordained government. So how can we reconcile that? How can we receive that which we are looking at now and find peace in it?
I'm not sure how you're asking that question. You're talking about just because government exists, and you said that God, who said, you said we say that God ordained government. Did you say we say
that?
Or did you say
the word says that God ordained government.
Okay, right. Ordained government. Okay. I know we're supposed to pray
right.
for those in authority. And I'll wait a minute. Oh, my gracious, my washing machine is going on. I know we say that, I know that we're supposed to pray over the authority, and that's all we can do when we see, when we really don't understand what's going on behind the scene, and we just go by what we hear and see on the news clippings, and because that's still not all the truth. They're only sharing half truth. So there's still some things hidden that we don't know about. And I sense that in the spirit. Behind the scenes. I just believe that.
Well, I can.
So.
Oh, go ahead.
I can just say, just pray. As a believer, just pray that things be open and exposed.
Now, I agree with you wholeheartedly. That is my position as well. Having worked in Washington at the federal government, district government, I know what we did, how we made policy. I worked at HUD, and we wrote policies for the president's signature and for the secretary of the signature. And some of the stuff that we wrote, that was, we had to do pro and con, and it was left up to the administrator to choose the one that they wanted. And we made a decision based on semi-scientific information at times. And sometimes it won't complete. It was true, but it wasn't complete truth. For example, my buddy worked at the Food and Drug Administration. And whenever they put saccharin on the market during the Nixon era, they did that based on scientific theory, which says that X number of people are going to have a negative impact. This saccharin is going to have a negative impact on X number of people. But because it fell within a percentage, then it was okay for it to be on the market because the benefit outweighed the negative. That was one of the ways that decision was being made, and I'm sure it hasn't changed all these years, being made in Washington at the federal level in terms of making decisions and making policies. And you're right, that God, because I used to be angry and get mad at the politicians and all that, what I saw there, I guess you can say that indirectly, whenever we wrote something and it went up and it got watered down, you got concerned about it. But I had to learn, just as you said, about praying for the administrators and praying for those who have the final say. And it took me a while to get to that point because I had invested myself too much in the situation. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where it says we pray for everyone and we pray for all people, and that's including our leaders and everybody else. And the purpose, you know, the word is clear. The word explains, tells you what you should do, and then it tells you why, and then it gives you the benefits. If we pray for everybody, politicians and everybody, why? So we can live a quiet, peaceful, reverent, godly life. And until people come into that level of understanding, they get angry and they allow what they hear to create fear in them. And as a result of that, then they tune out. A lot of them just tune out. So, why should I be bothered? Because it's more stressful if I stay tuned into what's going on. But I remember a pastor, never forget, I was at this church. It was a Hispanic church, and I had an interpreter. My buddy, we were a police chaplain there in Baltimore, and I was preaching at his church that day. And then this pastor was there visiting. He was Hispanic. And his thing was that his testimony, I never prayed for Jerusalem, never prayed for the Israelites, never. And he said one day the little voice came to him and asked him a question. What do you think would be happening if you were not praying? What do you think will be happening? And you know, that hit me, and it made perfectly good sense to me. If we are not praying and lifting up our leaders are human, and power corrupts absolutely. And if we are praying for them, that means then God has a pathway into their lives and into the situation and circumstances that they have authority over. That was one. And the other one, I thought it was very interesting. Whenever we look at it, one of the things that people used to tell us, you shouldn't judge, you shouldn't judge, shouldn't judge. Well, then when I came into an understanding that it's the fruits, and the one that stands out in my mind is when Jesus cursed the fig tree, and one of them died, and the other one, the wine dresser, asked him to allow him to nurture that tree, and he did. So whenever I look at what's coming out of these people's mouths now, those are some of the things that come, images that come to my mind. Again, it goes back to it's what the people hear and feel. Whenever they hear words, whenever they hear things that's coming out of mouths of people, I don't hear fear. I don't hear anger. I realize that. What was that down there? It says, God does not require us to obey delegated authorities. God delegated the authorities to the individuals that's in those offices. And God is holding those individuals that's in the offices accountable for what they produce. And if the laws that they are enacting is not what God wants us to be just, show mercy, and walk humbly with him, and the minor prophet spoke those words. And if those laws, when you apply them, if they are not just, then that means they're not of the Creator if they doesn't line up to the Word. So we can lift that up to the Creator, Elohim, or the Messiah. We can invite them into and ask them to make the adjustments. And what I mean by making adjustments, in other words, put someone in there who would do it according to their will. Now, is that, when people hear that, how do you think that they are receiving in terms of what do you think they feel?
You talking about in reference to just praying for leadership and authority? I mean, you said a whole lot, and you said a couple of different things within the whole, within your talk, so I'm not sure which exact point you're referencing
okay.
to.
Just pick one and respond to it.
Oh, God. Well, I know we're supposed to pray for authority. I mean, that's just what we've been called to do, and you said you didn't understand it at some point, but I mean, that's what the scripture has been telling us. It tells us to do that. But then there's also scripture where it talks about when you have the wicked in rule, you know, it talks about when the righteous are in authority, how the people rejoice. It's talking about
mm-hmm.
But when the wicked are bearing rule, the people mourn. So when mm-hmm. you got a lot of wickedness going on in the government, it causes a lot of mourning, so to speak. But mourning can mean it can be plural. It doesn't just mean that there's a bunch of sadness. It means that it's more praying, it's more weeping, it's more praying and intercession taking place. That's what should be happening, because we're praying for those in authority. When we see all these unjust laws being passed and that don't line up with the Most High, all we can do is pray, because we're not in those arenas. We're not the governmental officials. There's no need in us putting our mouth on them, but except through by prayer, you know? So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but that's the way I can only view it, and that's what comes to my mind, you know, when it comes to the authority that we've been given, even through prayer. And though it's Elohim's authority, he gave it to us as well. He gave us the authority when the Messiah went down into hell and took the keys, you know, of death. He gave us authority even then. So he gave us authority to, you know, tread on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So, I mean, we have that authority being given to us by the Creator, but as yet and still, he created the authority, and he allows us to use it, not to use it and take it for granted or use it in the wrong way and take advantage of people. He gave it to us to serve his kingdom, to build his kingdom. He gave us authority, the authority to do that. By the power of his word.
Yeah, and that's the difference between looking at it through the spiritual lens and looking at it through the lens of the world. Before I arrived at the position that I am now, I guess you could say I always were a believer, and I guess you can say backslid, but not quite backslid. Well, here I'm going trying to make. Well, my whole thing was that I knew the word. I believed in the word. I knew that there was a God. However, some of my definitions came from the way that it was used in the church, in the religious community that I was in, not the spiritual community, but the religious community. From a religious perspective, one understood the Old Testament, the Elohim, the being, the creator that was in the Old Testament as a hard taskmaster. And, but when you look at it in the New Testament, oh, his love, his everything is great. And so my whole perception was about the Elohim, about the creator, was that he was just waiting for me to do something wrong so he could jump on me. And I think that had to do with being an African-American male growing up in the South in the 50s when I grew up. The society, there were certain things that one could do and there were certain things that one didn't do. And one had to always be on their P's and Q's, as my ancestor used to say, because the system was just waiting for you to do something wrong so it could beat up on you. And that was the image that I had of God as well, because the system, what we talking about, authority, right? We talking about God is the one with authority. So that authority definition, which I saw playing out in the world, it must have came from God. God is allowing all this to happen. Therefore, I have to be on my P's and Q's because God is just waiting for me to do something wrong so I can get punished. And it took me years to arrive at a point where, no, he's not punishing me. He's disciplining me. And there was a big difference between discipline and punishment.
And you was viewing him through a different eye. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yes, a different mindset.
That's right. And because, you know, growing up in the South where slavery was what, I've been about 100 or so years past, but the residual effect was still there. And growing up in Jim Crow, you can't do this, you can't do that. If you do this, this is going to happen to you. Something bad going to happen to you. And you sort of began to lay that definition of authority on everything else that was around. But now I understand it differently whenever you're in the Word and you understand you can have authority, but that authority, according to the Creator, is one that is just, one that is merciful. And what I mean by that is the word discipline. It's not that he just wants you to do something bad so he can smack you. He gonna discipline you first. He gonna show you the same love that is shown in the what we call the New Testament. It's that same being is in the Old, and what we call the Old, and all he was trying to do was to get us to do the right thing for the right reason, which would be follow his word, his will. And I think that what's happening now, what we call the New Testament, we have taken it to an extreme. Well, I don't have to worry about it because the New Testament, but people have to understand that Jesus has not said anything that was not written in the what they call the Old Testament. And that means we're still being held accountable for, and all he did was, I mean, for me, what I sense whenever he collapsed, the 10 into two, he said, you love God with all your heart, et cetera, et cetera, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the 10 commandments, if you just look at the 2 commandments that Jesus stated, those 2 cover the 10.
What 2 are you talking about?
Oh, when he was asked about the, well, what are the great commandments? And he mentioned the 2.
Oh, love your neighbor as yourself, and
yeah, and love God
okay.
with all your heart, your soul, your spirit, et cetera, et cetera. And to me, whenever I, what I feel when I heard that is that he took the 10 and collapsed them into 2. Because if I love God.
Okay, I don't see it. I don't view it that way.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Now how
yeah,
do you,
I don't view
what
it
do
that
you
way.
Feel?
You still got to cover all the 10.
My thing
within
the 2.
If you love them with all your heart, in other words, what you're saying, you're not going to do anything else or the others.
That's right. That's right.
And if you love your
that
neighbor yourself, you're not going to do anything. Yeah.
Right, right.
I see where you
basically
come from. Explain yourself when you talk like that thing.
Yes, ma'am. the whole thing is... is that Jesus didn't do away with the 10. He
yeah.
just collapsed them all into 2. And if we
I
can do the
that.
2, we got the 10 covered.
Down pat, yep. That makes sense.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, see, it's not what the people hear, but they hear what you're saying. That's why it has
right.
to be broken down sometimes, because somebody else might be hearing something else when you say that if you don't break it down. You know,
yes.
with what you are saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gotcha.
That's why we are a team. And see, the other thing is, whenever we look at in the past, and even in the present, we saw what God spoke to people back then. If he had the prophets, he had the judges, and he spoke directly to the people, and they in turn spoke to the masses, and he spoke through them. So the whole thing was that you don't add or subtract anything from the word. And if we go back to the garden, that's how the enemy got tripped up Eve by changing one word. He said, by changing a couple of words in there, he said, God surely didn't say, he stuck the word surely in there, but that wasn't. And if you put surely in there, then that create doubt. So what Eve heard the enemy say created doubt whether God really meant what God said. And then if you fast forward that and you see how God also has spoke to Adam as well. And if God spoke to Moses and you know, I'm bringing it fast forward. My last church I had in Baltimore, I was lamenting, oh, that people are going to say that I split the church. And because what happened, the conference gave them this big building as part of, they were going to create a parish. And it was going to be a 2-station charge. And they were going to put a pastor under me there so that we could to have worship service in 2 locations. And location was less than 10 blocks apart. But the people in the original church, they got bent out of shape because they had put an elevator in and they did some renovation to their building. But here, this building, they say that they were praying for a new building, a larger building, and God gave it to them, then they didn't want it. So my thing was, oh, no. The people, my colleagues, everybody in the conference are going to be saying I split the church. Well, I was driving from church one day, and I was over the bridge coming out of Baltimore. I think it was 395 Russell Street area. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice. And because I was thinking, yeah, they're going to say I split the church. God said, why not you? And I shut up and went on and did it according to the vision that I had been given by the district superintendent that God had given her. And her time was up, and she appointed me there. And so I can attest to the fact that God speaks to people and speak through other people to people. So what he hasn't stopped doing what he was doing in what people call the Old Testament. How did I feel? What did I hear? I heard some being with authority. If you want to use the term absolute authority, ask me a question. Why not me? Said, why not you? And I received that. And I don't have a response. I couldn't respond to it. And because I couldn't respond to it, I knew that who was speaking to me. And that person, that being that was speaking to me, had the authority to move me, or if I didn't follow through, because that was his will that be done, then I could have been removed from that position. Let's see. So now we go back. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just listening to you. I just said, all right, pertaining to what you said. That was it.
And see, now, one thing that I noticed, even with you, your perception of authority is different from a lot of people that I met, especially a lot of ladies. Position is different, and that's part of what caused some conflict to take place. What I'm saying is that your understanding of authority is biblical, and it is not that you are subservient. It is not that you are a slave, you allow people to treat you that way. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you understand the biblical role of the females. And you also understand the biblical role of the males. And you are in sync with the word. And a lot of us men, we won't even recognize it. We won't recognize being part of your understanding authority. You know the ultimate authority is the Creator. And instead of, and I'm just using you as an example, but you're the co-host, and I can use men as an example as well. We know who the ultimate authority is. And we know that we are in sync with the one that that authority comes from because of our belief system. And we can be at peace in situations and circumstances that other people are not. And we also know when to speak up and know, like I tell people, who the Johnny Cash, his song, you have to know when to hold and when to fold. And that's similar to what the scripture is saying in terms of what comes out of your mouth. And you can create even a worse problem by, well, also what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart as well. So
so true. I said, amen, that's so true.
Oh, okay. And other thing, whenever we look at, we were just looking at from the political arena, you go to the spiritual, this transition into the spiritual, as opposed to beating up on the poor reverend, pray for the reverend. Have sit with the reverend. What I mean by pray for the reverend is that we, I hope I didn't hang up, we pastors, we spiritual leaders, we have been placed in these positions by the Creator. And if one is not doing what one is to what one, if one is not being the spiritual guide or spiritual leader, no point in you gossiping about him or her. Pray with them. Let them know if something is not, if something is amiss. And until maybe it's honest, maybe they just don't realize it. There was one situation that I had, and because I didn't understand why these ladies was acting the way they were acting, and I was about to react to it. And one of the elders of the church said, look, what they're doing is what they saw their mothers do. And after he explained that to me, what I was seeing made sense, and I was able to put it in perspective and able to deal with it and able to understand their behavior even before they would do it. If there was something that I knew was going to raise the eyebrow one, my whole thing was to try and create a situation where we could sit down and have a discussion or have somebody that's in their immediate circle that I could relate to, pass it to them and let them sort of be an assessor at the natural level and help move them to where they will be rather able to accept what decision that needed to be made. The authority and obedience. Next week we'll deal with obedience, but authority, my whole thing this week is that if we get a firm definition of what authority is, and the source, what the source of authority come from, then whenever we start talking about obedience to the authority, and we sort of touched on it already when we were saying that, and we need to pray for all people and pray for those who are in authority, politicians, spiritualists or whoever, and pray for your husband, pray for your wife as well. So we conclude.
Okay, so your whole aspect has been praying for those who are in authority, not the authority that we have.
I just can hear you.
Can you not hear me?
You're coming real low. Hello?
I don't know why. I'm right here.
Okay. Maybe it's my phone. My phone's been acting up. Go ahead. And what was your comment?
No, I just said, I was saying, so can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can
hear
you.
I said, so what you've been saying with authority, you actually talking about those in authority figure, not the authority that we have as believers.
Yeah, those persons. No, you got making a good point. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to see what arena of authority that you're coming from. Because I'm probably thinking you're talking about the authority that we have as believers, but you're talking about authority figures, those who are in authority, right?
Yes, we're talking sort of about both of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we have authority figures, some of them are not doing things according to the word of God,
exactly.
Much less according to the definition of their office that they are in.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And go ahead.
No, I just said exactly. I'm just in agreement with you.
Yeah, and we who are believers, as opposed to us jumping down on them and screaming and hollering and gossiping about them, we have the authority. We have the power to go to the Creator, to the one that gave them the authority, and ask that their hearts be changed. And if their hearts are not changed, then ask that they be replaced with someone who will do it according to the will of the Creator. And I think as I look around now, both in the church and in the, because I look at that denomination that I was in, and it just has schisms all in it now. And a lot of people who are getting upset and angry whenever we shouldn't be getting upset and angry. We should be going to the Creator and asking Him to intervene and asking the areas that we don't understand why things are happening the way they're happening. Ask the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that our Messiah left so that he could lead us into all truths. And that could help us to understand where we went wrong and just what's happening now and what is the Creator's position.
Exactly.
But there's anger now within that denomination. And part of it, people are disappointed and part of it, I guess you can say, is grieving. People are grieving because they put their whole life into that denomination. Well, number one, one never should put one life into anything other than the Creator. You shouldn't put your life into something that was created because that's all temporary. We only put our life in that.
Amen.
In the Creator. And whenever we do that, again, we find peace. We find joy. We can find hope. And otherwise, I can imagine some of those persons that were diehard
Methodists, that they're really struggling now. They are literally struggling. So hopefully people are praying that God will touch their hearts and explain to them and let them know that all is not lost, that they need to be praying and seeking his will. And because part of the problem that I saw years ago was that the denomination, the leadership has started making decisions based on reason and not based on what the scripture said. And that slippery slope started, I think, in 1992, when church and society, which is a committee of the denomination, they made decisions that impacted the spiritual growth and development of the denomination. And they were out of order in terms of, if you look at it in terms of the Creator, and because John Wesley, who they give credit for the denomination now, he had four things. He said that we know based on experience, tradition, reason, and scripture, but scripture is primary. So the other three are there because we interact with society and we bring that with us. But whatever decision that we go to make should be lined up with the scripture. And they put scripture out and they start making decisions based on tradition, experience, and reason. And that's one of the reasons that they wound up, that the denomination wound up where it is. And I think that whenever I used to be, why the evangelical Christians, why are they behaving the way they're behaving? And then whenever I just stopped and looked at it non-emotionally, and look at it from through the spiritual lens and line it up with the word, it became clear. And that meant there's no point in my lamenting over what's happening. They're in charge of that decision and their creator, their relationship with the creator, they're going to have to give accountable. And then other thing that came to me was that, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I don't have to get all bent out of shape about these people and what they're doing or what they're not doing.
Amen. Amen.
All right. I don't know what time it is. But
1 minute to seven. It's 1 minute to seven.
Okay. We got 1 minute because no one is here. And we'll do the obedience next week, because when we look at my perception of obedience has really changed. We used to say, when I was the little four-year-old, we used to say, oh, there's a little white lie. As long as I'm just saying a little white lie, I'm all right. And we used to say, well, as long as I don't commit murder, because there's little sins and big sins. But when we sit down and really look at it through the lens of the Spirit.
Elohim's eye seeing is seeing. That's right. Seeing is seeing in the eyes of the Most High.
That's right. So we'll pick that up next week, same time, and we will say shalom until then.
Shalom.
Shalom.